I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals." Please be seated. It's been a week for me in which I have given much thought to life, to death, to beginnings, to ends, to the old, to the new, and to eternal life, which is our hope, our inheritance, and our promise through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And the totality of Scripture reminds us that these promises, these hopes, these gifts, this longing that burns within us is not just for us. It's for every mortal, every human, every person. From the beginning of time, the beginning of the human race, until all things are made new and fully consummated in the vision that John saw from the island of Patmos. How many of us are Gentiles? Any genetic Israelites in the crowd this morning? Something happened to Peter on that rooftop in Joppa in his vision. This great sheet that contained all kinds of creatures, some of them creepy crawly things, most of which had been forbidden to the Israelites to consume. I'm sure that Peter's mama kept a kosher kitchen. And he saw all these creatures in this sheet, and God said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." As many of you know, I'm a hunter. I take that verse literally. But Peter was confused. And he told God, "Listen, I can't eat those creatures. They're forbidden in Torah. They're unclean. They're not kosher. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth." And God says, "Listen, Simon, if I made it, how dare you call it unclean?" And this happened three times in Peter's vision. It always takes Peter three times to get the point. Then he finally got it. Then he was called to the next town over to visit this family who were not ethnic, genetic Israelites or Jews, but were regular Gentiles like us. And the Lord told him what to do. Pray with them. Speak to them about Jesus. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on this group of Gentiles, just as it had fallen upon Peter and his companions on the day of Pentecost. And the purpose and meaning of his vision on the rooftop became clear. If God made them, how can we call them goyim, Gentiles, impure, unclean, not like us? We can't, can we? We can't call anyone impure, unclean, not like us. All of humanity is just like us. The humanity of Jesus is just like us. And so Peter's eyes are opened, realizing that the promises and the covenant grace given to Israel was really given through Israel to the whole human race, so that the whole human race could come to know and understand and believe and rejoice in what God had done, is doing, will do through the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ, moving toward that great consummation that John saw on the island of Patmos when his eyes were open and he was allowed to see into the very throne room of God and begin to understand what God was really up to begin to comprehend what God's project really is, and how it is not limited to any one group, to any one creature, to any one planet, if you will. The universality of the saving, restoring, healing, death-defying, death-defeating project of God will reach to the ends of the universe and draw every created person, every created thing into its perfection. A perfection that was born in love, sustained in love, redeemed by love, resurrected by love, and consummated in love. The gospel today is the same gospel that we heard on Maundy Thursday. Jesus at the Last Supper tells them, I give you a new commandment. In the Latin, mandatum novum, a new mandate. I give you a new mandate, a new commandment, that brings to perfection all of the 613 commandments in Torah. There's not just 10, you know. There's 613. All of those commandments God gave to Israel through Moses are summed up and perfected and consummated in this mandatum novum, this new commandment. Love one another. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this action, remember that love has nothing to do with how we feel. It's not an emotion. It's an activity. It's how we serve one another. Service is the sign of love. Acceptance of the other in their otherness is the activity and sign of love. Reaching out to everyone, no matter how different they are from us, is the outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace of the sacrament of love. Jesus never commanded us to like anybody. I've had people that I don't like. I've known a lot of people who don't like me. But we still gathered at the same table. We still prayed the same prayers. We still engage in the same acts of ministry and service to our fellow human beings together as disciples of Jesus. Whether we liked each other or not doesn't make any difference. What did matter is that we loved one another enough to stay in fellowship with one another and to do the work of Christ as disciples together in the world in love, because of love, bearing the fruit of love, making the kingdom of God present in the world in small ways in love, because the love of God revealed in Christ and then transmuted into us shows that God is living, God is active, because we are living and we are active and we are loving one another as Christ has loved us, showing the sign that we are disciples. We are under the discipline of our rabbi and master Jesus, following his example, doing what he did. And when we do, we are participating in the vision that John saw. All things are being made new. That's one of my favorite phrases in the entire New Testament. Behold, I make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Down in Catawba County, where I come from, outside of the city of Hickory, there's a little country Lutheran church that's on a hill. Used to be surrounded by farmland. Now, of course, it's not. But the name of that little Lutheran country church was New Jerusalem Lutheran Church. And when I was smaller and less biblically educated, I wondered, why did they choose that name, New Jerusalem? And it wasn't until I explored the Apocalypse of John that I understood. The New Jerusalem, the new city, comes down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, so that all the people of the world can move into that city that has no closed gates, where there's room for everyone to be the fully human, perfected person that God created him to be, and that's done within the community of all who live there. Because you can't be a Christian or an Israelite by yourself. It's just not possible. To be in fellowship with Jesus requires that we be in fellowship with one another. To love Jesus means that we are required to love one another. To serve Jesus means that we are required to serve one another. And when we do, that mysterious thing that Jesus talked about in the parables called the kingdom of God is literally made present in the here and now. Where the living and active body of Jesus is living and active and working, then Jesus himself is present and the work goes on until all things are brought to their perfection, as John tells us in his Apocalypse in this revelation. See, the home of God is not in heaven. It's among mortals. Did you catch that? The home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, plural, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Are you being made new this morning? Do you feel the new life of Jesus growing within you? The new life of the risen Lord Christ moving and growing and urging you on within you? If we don't perceive that on some level, we have to wonder, what in the world are we doing here and why do we keep coming back every week? We're here to feed that new life. Put some Miracle-Gro on it. Miracle-Gro called bread and wine. The fertilizer of the kingdom. The fertilizer of the new life that's growing in each of us. So that it will grow and bloom and flourish and bear fruit. Fruit for the kingdom. God is doing a new thing all the time. God doesn't rest on the history of old things. God is always up to something new. And God is perpetually inviting us to join him, her, the Blessed Trinity, in that work, in that movement, in that way that leads to eternal life, having been fed with the bread of life. My Lutheran seminary professor, Don Armentrout, in a sermon during Eastertide once said, "Death has choked to death on the bread of life." I like that. Death has choked to death on the bread of life. Come and eat the bread of life this morning. Come and be nourished by this blessed sacrament of the altar. Let that fertilize and bring to fruition the new life, the new thing growing within each of us that God is doing, so that when we move from the alpha point to the omega point, which is really the same point, everything that had its beginning in God will find its completion and consummation in God, and all things will be made new. But while we're on the journey to the New Jerusalem, we need to be fed, don't we? And we need to feed one another and love one another and serve one another as Christ loved and served us. Because if God made it, how dare we call it unclean or profane? If God made someone, then we have the obligation and the opportunity to love them in faithful service as Jesus has done for us. Amen.